Let me just pray. Lord, we thank you that as we turn to your word, Lord, you will open it up to us. You will show us those things that we need to see. You will remind us of those things we need reminding of. Lord, you will challenge us. You will comfort us. You will rebuke us. You will encourage us. You'll do all sorts of things, Lord, as is within your will. But Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts, you would open our minds, you would open our ears and our eyes, that you would give us a teachable spirit. Lord, that you would speak to us through this passage that we're going to read. And Lord, that we would hear from you, Lord, not from me. Nobody's much interested in what I've got to say, but we are all desperately in need of your word. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've got a really long reading this week. Really long. Hebrews 13, verse 8. And I'm just going to read these few words. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Full stop. Well, I could stop there, couldn't I? Because it's a truth. And it's a valuable truth. But I'm not going to. You'd be disappointed, wouldn't you? But it just seems to me that here we are, 2 days left of 2019, and the year is almost over. And lots has happened in some ways and not much has happened, because you just think, it's a year? Where's that gone? And it's often the time of year, isn't it, as you're sitting with your family, chewing on your chocolate-covered Brussels sprouts or whatever the latest delicacy is in your household. It's the kind of time that you find yourself in reflective mood. Maybe you'll be thinking back over good times, over family celebrations, over lovely holidays, or over times of real spiritual growth, real blessing. Perhaps your reflections will be tinged with the sadness of things that are broken, things that are lost, broken relationships, lost loved ones. Perhaps your year has been really challenging and a bit hard. In places. Maybe a year has been draining physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually, or the whole lot. Or is it maybe? Is it that you're not someone who looks back much? I mean, it's probably a bit like Marmite, a 50-50 thing, isn't it? Perhaps you're somebody that when you're mulling over in your mulled wine, you're not so much mulling over the past year, you're reflecting on this year a bit. But mostly what you're doing is looking ahead to the new year. You're busy making plans, thinking about what's going to change in your life and how. Maybe some of those changes will be choices. Maybe they'll be forced on you. Because it's that time of year, isn't it? Now, when Geoffrey Chaucer said that tide and time waits for no man, he wasn't wrong, was he? As time moves along, we are constantly changing. And I know that some of us struggle with change, but change is good. Put your hand up if you think change is good. Well, that's less than 50%. Change is good. This is a statement of fact if you're a Christian. Because though it's not the only reason that we are here, that as a church we are together, it is one of the reasons that we're here in church. It's not something you think of when you think of churches and changes, that we have to take the slightest thing to a church meeting 6 times before we can do it. But church is about change. It's true. Because we all want to change to become more like Jesus. That is what it's about. doing it together, encouraging one another, teaching one another, changing. Put your hand up if you think change is good. Oh, come on, I've got to encourage you a bit more. It's good, it's needed. See, our desperate desire for Christians is to disown our sins. Is to honour the Lord God. It's to be more loving, it's to be more compassionate, it's to be more forgiving, it's to be more merciful. And we want to help each other live our lives in ways which would let the world around us know what Jesus has done for us. Because if the world around can't see that Jesus has done anything for us, why on earth would anybody be interested? But it's not just what he's done for us, is it? People we know for a long time will see what Jesus is doing for us. People will see us changing. I won't ask you to put your hand up if you think change is good, but people need to see us changing. So it's the fact they'll see what Jesus has done for us, they'll see what Jesus is doing for us, and they will see what Jesus will do for us tomorrow, and the next tomorrow, and the next tomorrow. And we want to see Jesus change those people around us, don't we? I know that there'll be some of you thinking, oh, yes, we do. But we do. We want to see people change those people around us, changing them as they understand the truth. The truth that he didn't just do it for me and he didn't just do it for you, but he did it for all who would be willing to be remade, to be recreated, to be remolded, to be reconciled, to be restored by him, to be redeemed. So yes, change is good and change is necessary. At least it is for us messed up people who see our need for redemption, who see our need to be remade, our need to be recreated, to see our need to be reconciled, our need to be restored. Change is really good, and we all need change. The thing about change is, though, whether we like it or not, here's another fact for you. Not only is change good if you're a Christian and you're staying close to Jesus, but actually change is going to happen anyway. You will change, like it or not. We will either see deterioration in our lives as we go our own way and as we do our own thing, or we will see restoration in our lives as we accept God's way and we do his thing and the things that he would have us do. Yes, we're going to see change. We're going to see change, and our circumstances may change around us as well. But as our reading reminds us, in our world which is constantly changing, there is one who is constantly constant. If we're reminded by the writer of Hebrews that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. He is always there for us. He is always dependable. He is always caring for us. Whether we feel it or not, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. So let's just pull that apart a bit, shall we? Jesus Christ, that's the start point, isn't it? Jesus Christ. The name Jesus means Saviour. Peter in his first letter, chapter 2, verse 24 says this. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin. By his wounds, you have been healed. So that is what a Saviour has to do. That is what our Saviour did. That is what Jesus came to do, because that is what he had to do. That's our Saviour. Jesus is our Saviour, and what a Saviour. But our verse says Jesus Christ, not just Jesus. So we've seen that Jesus was his Christian name, and it described who he is, Jesus, Saviour. But what about Christ? Is that his surname? No, it's not. It's his title. In Hebrew, it's Messiah. In Greek, it's Christ. But either way, it's his title. It's who he is. Messiah or Christ. And that means anointed one All the way through the Old Testament, God promised to send Messiah, the one who would effect that perfect rescue that humankind needed. And in the New Testament, as we've seen over Christmas, Messiah or Christ came. And his coming blew everyone's minds because they really, really weren't expecting what happened. For some reason, they were expecting someone, but they were not expecting that someone would be God himself who would come in human form. They were not expecting that. They might have been expecting a God-like man or somebody who was pretty good. But who came? The one who came was not a God-like man or a man like God. The one who came was 100% man, 100% God. This is Christ. This is Messiah. So Jesus is the Savior. The Savior? How do you do? How do you get a word like that? Jesus is the Savior. Christ is the Anointed One. The Messiah. The same yesterday, today and forever. Now I don't know what your own personal little bubble of life looks like at the moment. But I think I'm safe in saying that our world is fast changing. It's pulling apart politically, it's pulling apart economically, it's pulling apart relationally. It's pulling apart spiritually. People are desperate for stability and desperate for purpose. But as I've mentioned a few times, as Dusty Springfield said, we live in a world which is constantly changing. Well, says the writer to the Hebrews, let me remind you that Jesus Christ, in the middle of all of this change, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. And previously in his letter, he's reminded us that Christ is that anchor. In Jesus Christ, we have an anchor that is sure and steadfast. In fact, the truth is that not only do we have an anchor, but rather there is only one sure and steadfast anchor, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. He always has been and he always will be. You know, we're celebrating Christmas, aren't we? We're stuck right in the middle of it in between Christmas and the New Year. And so we think of Jesus' birth, don't we? And we think maybe in our heads we equate that birth with his beginning. Is that what we do? There's a danger of that, I think. But of course, you say that's not true. That is not so. Jesus didn't just somehow turn up when he was born as a baby. Let's remind ourselves again. I read it earlier this morning from John 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. Or maybe we could try this to help us. Try this later at home as well. In the beginning, Christ already existed. Christ was with God, and Christ was God. Christ existed in the beginning with God. Hebrews 1 verses 2 to 3 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday because he was active in creation. It says this, and now in these final days he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. And Hebrews 4:7 tells us that Christ is the same today. Jesus Christ is the same today. He's offering salvation to everyone who will trust him. It says this, God sets another time for entering his rest, and that time is today. God announced this through David. Today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And Hebrews 10, verse 12, tells us Jesus Christ is the same forever. So we've had the yesterday, we've had the day, today, and forever. He goes on to say, reigning in glory forever. This is what Hebrews 10:12 says. Our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins. Good for all time, a once-for-all sacrifice. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. All that Jesus was yesterday, he is today. All that Jesus was yesterday, he will be tomorrow. Jesus doesn't change. Change is good for us. He doesn't change. He doesn't need to. He is perfect. Jesus is always relevant. He is always reliable. He is always immutable. That is, unchangeably reigning for eternity. How many times do we hear people say things like, oh, come along church, you're old-fashioned, you're outdated, you're becoming irrelevant. No, you're not becoming irrelevant, you are irrelevant. So if you want a place in our society, this is what you've got to do. You've got to make this Jesus of yours, you've got to make him relevant to our society. Basically, what you have to do, church, is to massage your message and make it more acceptable. Yes, we'll have Jesus, but only if Jesus will fit what we want. But the truth is, Jesus Christ is God's final word to humanity. Whether that's humanity centuries ago, whether that is humanity centuries into the future, or whether that is humanity right here and right now, Jesus Christ is always relevant. He will not change. We need him to be the same. He is the same today. He was the same yesterday. He will be the same forever. Jesus Christ will not change to comply with a slippery, self-centered, self-seeking society. Now, he came to rescue us from that. He's come to do so much more. Jesus will not change. He didn't come to be changed. He didn't come to be changed. He made it possible for us to be changed. That's why he came. Jesus, who is ruling and reigning in heaven today, is the same Jesus who created everything out of nothing. He's the same Jesus who was here on the earth a couple of thousand years ago. And that Jesus is perfect today. He always has been. He is dynamic. He is perfect love. He is perfect justice. He will not change. He's come so that I can be changed. And you can thank him for that because I need it. He's come so that you can be changed. And you can thank him for that because I'm sorry to say this, but you need it. He's come so that all who truly want to live lives to the full, to be overflowing with joy and energy and peace and hope and love. Who doesn't want that? He's come so that all who want that can be changed and have it as we are being changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. So looking back to yesterday, we can know with certainty this simple fact of history, that Jesus never changes. What he did for us has been done for us. Jesus Christ is alive. He is the same person who pre-existed before he became human. He is the same Christ who walked all those roads in Galilee. He is the same Christ who changed water into wine in Canaan. He is the same Christ who raised Lazarus from the dead. He is the same Christ who laid down his life and took it up again. He is the same Christ who said this, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." John 3:16. And he is the same Christ who said, "Anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life." But he is the same Christ who also said, "Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life but remain under God's angry judgment." John 3:36. He is the same Christ who, we are told in Revelation 19:16, that the whole of creation will at the end of time see and declare as the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. He is the same Christ, as we're told in John 5:22, has absolute authority to judge. And so that's good and that's exciting, and you can see that I'm excited by it. But where does it leave us? Here we are today on a kind of gloomy old day, although the sun's popped out for a bit, at the end of December, the last Sunday in 2019 here in Ely. Where does this leave us today? Well, obviously everything I've said about this short verse is true. It's fact. Now, of course, that's a pretty good start, isn't it? You do actually want somebody preaching, telling the truth. It's a good place to start. But I wonder what you're going to do with it. What are you going to do with this morning? What you've heard this morning, what are you going to do with it? I wonder that. In fact, if I'm honest with you, I wonder that every week. What are you going to do with it? Does God tell us these things for us to just put them to one side? I wonder every week, what will I actually do with it? Will we do anything with it? Or will we just get on and get busy with life and stuff and the things that the week ahead will throw at us? Might we find that instead of asking Jesus to change us, to work in our lives, to work through us, to use his word to lead us in our lives, instead of that, might we just let our lives lead us? You see, there's a real danger with that. We can let our lives lead us because we're busy, aren't we? We are busy. We get doing stuff and we are led by that stuff, but we shouldn't be. We should never be led by our lives. We should lead our lives. And if we're Christians, we should be leading our lives with his directions. Well, as I wondered what we're going to do with this, I thought I'd give us a few pointers. So here we go. Here are a few pointers as we close. Jesus Christ is our Creator. He's our Saviour. He's our Sustainer. And that fact must surely have an effect. Firstly, if you don't know him that way, Then all I'd say to you is just don't wait another day for an introduction. Come and talk to me. Talk to another Christian you know here this morning. Don't wait. Jesus Christ, yes, he's the same yesterday, today and forever, but you may not be here tomorrow. That's not scare tactics. It's just a fact, isn't it? Don't wait. But if you do know him, if you do know him as your Creator, as your Saviour, as your Sustainer, let me ask you, are you welcoming your Creator into your heart to do that work? To do what we would call, we want to use big theological words, sanctification. But to put it in plain language, because I like plain language, are you letting him, are you really expecting him to recreate you in his image? That's what it's about. Are you constantly aware of just how much love and grace and mercy he poured out on the cross to be your Saviour? Are you relying on him to be your Sustainer? Or are you just saying, oh, I can do this myself? Are you relying on him to be your Sustainer, the only one who can truly keep you refueled? The only one who can truly keep you on track? The only one who can truly keep you content, to keep you living joyful lives, to keep you living in his peace, to keep you sharing his love with others, to keep you enjoying the lives that you've been blessed with. And alongside that, let me ask you this. In a world which is constantly changing, where is your constancy? Where is your anchor? Where is your life tethered to? Where is your heart fixed? Is it your bank balance? I mean, that could be dodgy, couldn't it? Is it a friend? Is it your family? Is it your job? Is it your own certainty that you can handle this or that and this life thing's not a problem, it's a doddle? Is it, as so often is the case these days, is it your virtual world with virtual friends on social media? You see, all of those things I've mentioned can fail. They've failed in the past, they can fail today, and they will fail tomorrow. But not Jesus Christ. No, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The other things, they're all fickle. He is faithful. I've got one further point, but before we move on, I just want to touch a bit more on that issue of social media. Now, I know for a fact that this will not be an issue for some of you. I know that genuinely this is not an issue for you, and if that's the case, then great. Don't get smug about it, but great. Praise God for it. But I also know for a fact that this is an issue for some of us in our church family. This is an issue. This may be an issue for you. Some will be relying on their virtual friendships instead of their real friendships. They'll be relying on so-called wisdom of the virtual world of Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or Instagram or WhatsApp or whatever. I don't know what it is, but you know, there's this stuff, isn't there? They'll be relying on everything else rather than relying on Jesus Christ, who is the source of all wisdom yesterday, today, and forever. I know that for you who have this issue, you may not want to admit it because it's a kind of form of addiction. You may even think that it's not a problem for you. If that's the case, then I would ask you to do this very simple test. If something isn't a problem for you, it's not going to be a problem, this is a simple test for social media. Take a month away from social media and see how it impacts you. See how often you think you should be checking your phone or checking your computer or checking whatever you check. Seriously, even if the idea of that starts to fill you with fear, annoyance as to why I should even dare to mention it, or any concern, then you've got a bit of a problem. And if that's the case, then please talk to someone. Talk to someone you know you can trust. Ask for prayer. Get accountability. Lastly, my last point, let's just hold on to the incredible truth that our God is consistent. He is faithful. And he is trustworthy every day. This should mean an awful lot to us. He has always been and will always be. He is today absolutely constant. Yes, the world around us will tell us that we are out of date, that we need to change, that we need to soften or strike out some of Jesus' words to make him relevant. Yes, we will feel the pressure of that in the days that we live. But thank God that he doesn't change. He is always just. He is always full of love. He is always full of compassion. He will always hold us up as we trust him, as we share the truth that the world we live in needs him. Unchanging, unbendable, unfailing in doing everything. He does everything he can to help us to share that good news, that he will save all who will be saved. Let's pray. Lord, we need you to be right at the center of our hearts and to recognize that you are the same. Lord, in our day yesterday, in our day tomorrow, in our day today, there is no change in you, in who you are. Oh Lord, there will be things that we need to take away from this morning. There'll be those things which are clearly of you, where you have spoken to us. I pray that you would help us to hold on to those things and that you would work on those things in our hearts as we let you, as we glorify you, as we are changed by you. And we ask it for your glory. Amen.